You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome into The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. Go to anchor.fm for more info or continue listening. We'll get into telling you what they can do for you and why you want to pick them. So, it's Thursday. It's been an interesting week. Let's get started by talking about the obvious, Antonio Brown. Yes, Antonio Brown supposedly retired 3 days ago via a announcement. I feel like this is for like the 30th time that he's retired. It was an announcement over the Twitter, and he just basically said, "I'm done, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah." Well, yesterday on Instagram, it's very clear it's not Antonio this time. It's definitely his representatives, agent, lawyer, whatever, wrote a big, long, extended letter to the NFL in regards to his period, him trying to come back and be allowed back into the league. And this letter, I mean, he gets serious with it. If these allegations that he's making are true, it's interesting. Here, I've pulled it up to see if I can't read it. He tags the NFL, "I've complied with each and every ask of your investigations throughout the past 11 months. You have had access to all of my phones. You know what the deal is in each and every situation that the media has distorted." Okay, so you know that Antonio's not writing this because the English is about flawless outside of each and every ask. I think that would be a better word right there, would be request. "I have been seeing the therapist you asked me to. I have worked on all aspects of my life this past year and have become a better man because of it. The fact that you refused to provide a deadline and the reason for the fact that you won't resolve your investigations is completely unacceptable." He does not state this reason in this. He just says that the reasons are unacceptable. "I demand you provide me clarity on this situation immediately if you really care about my well-being. My legal team continues to ask and you provide no answers. How is it that the league can drag its feet on any investigation it chooses on players, and we just have to sit there in limbo? Need an update so I can talk to these teams properly? They're waiting on you at NFL. Let's get this thing moving. We've got history to make. #harmony. So it's very clear that after his announcement that he would be retiring from the NFL, that he is indeed staying. And because he is indeed staying, that means that he's not retired. And so I had a little bit of fun yesterday. I caught myself on BuzzFeed again and decided to publicly admit that I do go on BuzzFeed. Every once in a while, I get compelled to read an article that they post, and wrote an article where I took the top 10 songs from a BuzzFeed list from emo music, and compared them to current NFL players. And Antonio Brown made the list twice. And there was nothing I could do to avoid that. That was just, yeah, Antonio Brown is the perfect renderization of a modern emo child. But skipping on past that, if any of this is true, if these allegations are true, if the reasoning that they're giving is not acceptable, it's not a good reason, you know, the NFL has bigger things on its plate right now, I think, than trying to hold Antonio Brown out of the NFL. I'm not sure what their motivation would be if all these allegations are indeed true and Antonio Brown ran. This is just one of those we'll have to wait and see, let it play out. Does Antonio really have a lot of interest across the NFL? I would imagine so. he is one of the most gifted wide receivers, talent-wise, everything in NFL history, so it would only make sense. It would only make sense that there are a bunch of NFL teams that are interested in signing him right now. But anyways, that's what's going on with Antonio Brown. Now, it's also worth noting, changing gears here for a second, that the Minnesota Vikings, who just signed Kirk Cousins to a 2-year extension, pretty much all guaranteed. So it'll be a total of 5 years that he's pretty much guaranteed to be, you know, in Minnesota, counted entire contract time, is decided that they're going to give a contract extension to head coach Mike Zimmer. This, I think, is a pretty solid move. Mike Zimmer has given them no reason to think that he won't be the man, the guy. They've been pretty competitive every year, outside of, I think, just one year, one season. That was when Bridgewater, I think, got hurt. They've been pretty competitive. They've made playoff runs. They've gone deep into the playoffs when they've had to. And now they have all the pieces together, and they're kind of locked under contract for a while, for several years. So you might as well extend the head coach. Now, Mike Zimmer has talked about coaching until he's 70 and how he thinks that he could do that. Well, he's got the opportunity now. This is a 5-year extension that the Minnesota Vikings are giving him. So kudos to the Minnesota Vikings. I think this is a pretty solid move. Zimmer, obviously good Christian guy, cares a lot about the sport, about his people around him. He's a very loyal man. And, I mean, just look at the way that he handled everything with Everson Griffin. I can think of about 10 NFL clubs off the top of my head that would have messed that situation up big time. And almost all of them are losing right now. And Zimmer handled that situation along with the Vikings organization with grace over this past season. And yeah, they're winning. They win games. And they generally win more than they lose. So, that being said, that's pretty much, I do believe, the news portion of this show today. Because I don't think there was really anything else worth noting. We've been keeping up with the NFL and the NFLPA's negotiations for the upcoming season pretty closely. So we already know that these teams right now have agreed to play no preseason games. And they've extended the roster to 80 players during the camp phase. If I remember correctly, they've already extended the active roster to 63 or 65, which is good. There's going to be more practice squad spots available, and so there'll be less cuts at the end of the year, which is always a good thing for players, especially because they don't have a preseason to really get into some of these reps and see where these guys actually stand. It's also worth noting, I do believe, that the NFL yesterday announced that fans will be allowed back in the stadiums. They will be required to wear masks. The Atlanta Falcons, per Clay Travis, that's where I saw it. I'm not sure who broke this. Will allow 10 to 20,000 fans per home game, which is about as many as they already had every week. But regardless, it's good news for the NFL. The NFL is going to allow fans back in the stadiums. They're going to limit the number. They're going to have, I would assume they're going to have sections closed off, and those sections are going to be filled with advertisers, because that's how the NFL and sports works. I mean, I've been watching soccer here recently. Soccer comes on pretty much as soon as my lunch break starts. It's perfect for me because I have the YouTube TV. I get to turn that on. I just sit back in the office, put it on a screen, just let it play in the background while I'm working. And it's not, because it's nice to have live sports. Yesterday was the first time I had basketball on. You know, so in the basketball situation, that's interesting right there. It's weird seeing them playing in a resort on a court, and all the seats where all the players and coaches are sitting are all social distanced. It's weird looking. It does not look like your typical basketball, by the way. I was watching some of that yesterday. But the NFL is going to allow fans back. That's good. That's where it needs to be. We're talking September. It's a month and a half away before we ever kick off an NFL game. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. People are going to wear masks, so on and so forth. NFL football will be rolling. And it appears with fans in the stands. Let's go ahead and take a break, because I want to split these sections up. Because I'm going to get into some college football like we did yesterday. I think there's a lot to talk about, because the SEC is a go. And it looks like they are a full go at the moment, because, you know, Southeastern states are running high school football at this point. Several states are on schedule, no adjustments or anything. So, when we come back, we'll get into some college football. We're going to get into some good stuff. And that's next on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. So listen, if you're looking to start your own podcast, you want to get into the game, here's how you can do it. Go to anchor.fm, sign up. They're going to help you monetize your podcast immediately with no minimum listenership. They're going to give you advertisers. They're going to help you find everything. They're going to put it, they're going to distribute your podcast on all the multiple big podcast platforms. And that's going to help you grow faster. So if you are committed, you want to do podcast of your own, go to anchor.fm today, get signed up. All right. So here's the deal with the SEC. Yesterday we talked about Alabama, we talked about LSU. There are in the East, there are a few teams that are worth talking about. And, I mean, there's still a couple in the West that we're going to get to, but I think we need to shift gears, because we talked about the two powerhouses right now in the West. We're going to talk about two powerhouses in the East. Right now, it is a absolute toss-up between Georgia and Florida. Georgia won the East last year, got hammered by LSU in the SEC championship game, was not competitive. They lost a lot of offensive talent last year. They lost their running back. They lost their quarterback. A couple offensive tackles. They're trying to return some receivers. They've gotten two transfer quarterbacks, two high-profile transfer quarterbacks that will be competing for the starting job. Jamie Newman out of Wake Forest was assumed to be the starter. However, JT Daniels from USC transferred over and was granted immediate eligibility. This is phenomenal for the Georgia Bulldogs, not Jamie Newman. Because JT Daniels is a very talented, traditional, big-armed quarterback. We saw him at USC his freshman year, redshirt freshman year. Last year, his redshirt sophomore, he got hurt. He missed the entire season due to what I believe, if I remember correctly, was an ACL. Daniels is primed. He's ready to come back. And he's got immediate eligibility. He's going to be competing right away with Jamie Newman. And that's huge. That is huge. for Georgia. They've got a lot of talent. They might have one of the best defenses in the nation right now. Pretty much everyone returned on defense for this team. They lost a linebacker. There might have been a couple defensive linemen and safety. But the talent that they've been recruiting since Kirby Smart got there has been top tier. It is high level. This defense is already primed. The people already think this is a top five defense in the nation, if not the best. This defense is going to be very good. All right. So it's an offense where we have more question marks, and if you want to call them question marks, they're not all that much question marks at this point, because we just don't know how the chemistry, how the teams are going to click. All right, so the other side of this rivalry, because this is one of the most fearsome rivalries in the SEC, is Florida. Florida lost some offensive talent, too. They lost a bunch of receivers. They lost a running back. They lost some defensive talent last year. They definitely have more holes to plug. But if they all come together, Florida is going to be, this is going to be the best Florida team we've seen in quite some time. And I mean that. I can't stress this enough. So the big question mark with the Florida Gators is Kyle Trask. And a lot of NFL draft evaluators are picking him as kind of the big riser quarterback this year, who's going to make his case as a first-round pick. I see what everyone else sees, okay? Because I wrote an article about this not very long ago. I do see what everyone else sees. I see immense talent. I see extraordinary playmaking. I just don't see it all coming together for him because he has so much that has to come together. So, a great example, somebody to think back on, Cardale Jones, Ohio State, 2014, stepped into the limelight as one of the top players in college football, took over when JT Barrett went down with an injury, 3 or 4 games left to go in the season, continued Ohio State's run, won a natty. And when you watched Cardale Jones, he had the big arm, strong, Ben Roethlisberger-type body, moved well at that size. You saw all these traits that you really liked. But there was so much there in terms of fundamentals and technique, things that he needed to get down that weren't there. And he got away with it because nobody had tape on the guy to study. You see, Kyle Trask right now is a lot like Cardale Jones. The main difference between Trask and Jones is the fact that Jones started in high school, Kyle Trask did not. So Trask has even less repetition over the last 7 years than Cardale Jones had when he stepped in. When you look at Trask, you have to fault the fact that he just hasn't played as much as he should. There's a lot of times where you want him to recognize coverages, you want him to see things, and he doesn't see it. Not because he's not capable, it's because he just hasn't seen it enough. He doesn't have that natural feel for the game. And when you watch him, you think when he gets that natural feel for the game, he's going to be really good. But at what cost? How are you going to give him that natural feel? One more season at Florida, I don't think is going to fix everything with him. There's a lot of people that think otherwise. I don't see it. I see what you all see. I see the exciting factor and just how good he could be. The potential, the ceiling, the roof is sky high. But the chances of someone getting him there right now is extremely limited. Extremely. And that's my biggest issue with Kyle Trask. And that's the biggest question mark on this Florida team is, can Kyle Trask be a good enough college quarterback to lead this offense and get this team into the SEC championship competing for a natty? If you're in the SEC championship, you're competing for a natty. You're in discussion to be in the top four. That's just how it goes. That's how good the SEC is. And it's been like that since really the beginning of the playoff era. That's what we're looking at. I think there's a dark horse team in the East that you need to talk about. And that's right now, everybody is, it's not that much of a dark horse anymore because everybody's talking about them in all the national magazines and so on and so forth. That's Tennessee. Tennessee has the opportunity to be really, really good this year. They're on a high recruiting right now. It's right now it's the two or number two or number three class in the nation. It's not going to stay that way because of the average caliber. When you look at the average per player, Tennessee's up there right now because they've got more recruits than anyone else. I think they've already landed 23. And a few of them are gonna go. You're probably gonna pick up a few more. And you're going to hope that it's going to be the three stars that go and you pick up a couple more four or fives. And if that's the case, then this is going to be a great Tennessee recruiting class. But that's not someone who's going to impact the field this year. This year, Tennessee looked really bad last year for a while. Things were bleak. And I mean bleak. But they managed to turn things around. They did. They did a great job turning things around. They're at the end of the year, started 4-5. I believe they finished 9-5. They went through the SEC East and handed it to just about everyone. And now they are returning most of that talent. Now they did lose an edge guy. They did lose a linebacker. They lost a couple receivers. But for the most part, this team stayed intact. They kept people they weren't supposed to keep. They picked up a couple extra people they weren't supposed to get. This team is going to be competitive with Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. I don't know if they're going to be able to beat any of them this year, but don't be surprised if one of them topples to Tennessee. And honestly, this year, I think that if any of them are going to topple at all, it's going to be Georgia. That's the team that's most susceptible to topple to Tennessee. The game's not being played the same time it normally does. It's going to be toward the end of the year. Tennessee could come away with that relatively easy. But we'll see. That's why we play the games, is it not? I do think you need to keep your eyes on them. They have a very good offensive line. They've got three running backs that all played major roles last year that return. Okay, so Ty Chandler, Tim Jordan, Eric Gray. With one of the best offensive lines in the SEC and three running backs, do the math. You're going to be able to get Jerry Garantano, the quarterback, into a play-action set. Imagine how much damage they can do with that right there. That's how they're going to do it. Anyways, that's about all the time we've got on the episode for today. Tomorrow will be Friday. We will be back. It'll be the final day of the week. If you want to keep up with the show and keep up with my work, you can follow me at John D.A. Vogel. That's on pretty much any platform. Just got on Minds yesterday. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's got the potential to take off. If it does, I'm going to be there. Parler, Twitter, Gab, at John D.A. Vogel, John DeVogel. And there is a lot of exciting stuff going on right now. So keep up with the website, keep up with the show to kind of stay in tune. I can't say anything yet, but I was asked about an opportunity that if I take it, you will be hearing about it on this show from time to time. Not exclusively, but it'll be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun if I get it. Anyways, you guys take it easy. Be at peace. Find your peace. Relax. Kick back. Enjoy yourself. God love you all. I'm John Vogel. This is the John Vogel Show.
You're listening to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.